Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WGR Sports Radio 550.
His helmet came off. There's not a flag. That's not possible. Where's the commissioner? Where's Mike Waters?
I mean, it took him a while to get into the flag.
Well, he is defenseless. Hey, don't you understand? Throw a flag.
It's Mike's show.
Third down. Block. You know what? I don't really care if you people look at me in the press box. You know what? That's a flag.
And the Bulldog.
And I'll fight any one of you if you want it. That's the mood I'm in at the moment.
Again with the levity. I don't know, Joe.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to do it.
What happened to Johnny Cash pouring his heart out at three? What happened to that?
Oh, jeez.
That feels...
That's a once a day, once a month. Like, man, that hits hard.
Once a year. I only play it when the Bills season ends.
Okay.
Oh, it's tradition.
I think, pardon me. Yeah, 3 years in a row here.
Yeah, pardon you haven't me. Used it. Yeah, you haven't done that during the regular season. That's right. That's right.
You ever get in that mood where, like, you're mad, you feel like you have the right to be, say, at home, and somebody, maybe even on purpose, does something funny just to amuse you, to change your mood, and you sort of fight that off? Don't. Mm-hmm. Don't right now. Don't do it. Right. Don't do it. I want to be mad. I'm enjoying this.
I'm taking an anger bath, and I want to sit there for a little while longer. Don't drain the water out of the tub yet.
Don't come at me with dad jokes, all right? Because you know that'll work. So just come on. Slow down. Back to your calls. 803-0550, the number. Here is Earl next. Hi, Earl.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to know what you thought of Ken Dorsey sliding into the OC position. He has a good relationship with Allen. He knows what he likes. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy default setting, and that doesn't mean that it's lazy or just convenient, but it certainly is. Well, it's convenient. They already have a relationship. Allen already publicly endorsed him. If the job becomes available. So, you know, I am not going to be able to sift through Ken Dorsey's career in a way to change anyone's mind about his candidacy. The most important guy in that whole equation is the quarterback, and if he's on board, I'm not going to throw myself in front of the train.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough to know what you'll get there. So having a prediction on how it will work out seems, you know, maybe risky. Dable is a lesson in that. I mean, Dable's career gave you no evidence of his being, you know, a modern, you know, good coach, coordinator. Like, it just, there was no evidence of it. I need that. Whoever they hire, if he leaves, what's the evidence? And what is the evidence on Dorsey? Is there any? Allen is some of that. You know, what would be on his resume? Allen's performances, sure. But it's a different job. But Dable's story, you know, he went to Alabama and came back, and he knew all this. He knew all the play-action tricks and all the different ways of scheming guys open, and he was given great cards, too, especially with Diggs being added, and it smashed. I mean, he has done a great job here. So it's hard to know anyway, but when a guy hasn't done it, it's even tougher. Here is Mike with us next. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
All right, Mike. Thanks Hello. For calling. Good. Yep, Good. You're on the air, bud. Go for it.
Hey, I want to know why McDermott's not getting more heat. I mean, he's a defensive coach, and our defensive lost the game for us and hasn't won a playoff game on the road. How about we just keep Dable and just make him our head coach? I'm not sure that McDermott's a big-game coach. I mean, he might be a guy who'll get you to the playoffs, but, I mean, we don't need that. We've been to the playoffs before. We need that next level. We need that Bill Walsh, that Parcells, that Belichick-type guy. Not sure he's him. I just want to see what your comment on that is.
You know who else was that guy for many years was Andy Reid.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how much more heat you want than they blew it.
They
blew it. He blew it. He and Frazier blew it. I mean, I've said that 10 times today. Do I think there's credibility behind calling for his job? No. But they blew it.
It's funny. You never know if it's the same people, but we sit here and we listen to callers over the years, and every day is different. And who knows? We don't know who they are, of course, right? They're just all they're different people on a different day. There's a consistent what's a nice word for it? Hang up that fans have over respect that the Bills get or don't get. Like even today, a guy's calling from Massachusetts and he's saying that Allen doesn't get enough credit from the national media. And he's like, really? I mean, Boston media. Like, how could you possibly, I think to myself, how could you possibly have consumed the last, 24 hours, 2 years of Bills coverage and not think and actually think that? But somebody who's like, so go Bills seems to think that. And I hear that a lot of times. Yet sometimes it feels like the same person will think, maybe Sean McDermott being fired is like a real idea that should happen. Whereas like the same national media that you don't hear giving Allen credit would laugh you out of the room, would laugh anybody out of the room who have followed the Bills for the last 20 years and thinks that McDermott hasn't done great, right? Like, so
yeah.
It's really just maybe, to me, it's not, I don't know if it's the same person. It may not be. Like, I don't know what that guy thinks of whether Allen gets enough credit, but there's just like this faction of people that only hear the negatives when it's Allen and maybe somehow aren't paying attention to the rest of the discussion and think that, oh, is Sean McDermott's job in jeopardy or something like that? I would bet heavily that it isn't.
Me too, but he blew it. they blew it at the end of this game. A tremendous opportunity. I don't happen to think that should cost him his job. But I guess I'm not rolling my eyes either at someone being mad enough about it to want to say it. I don't think there's any chance of it happening. And I don't agree with it either. I think what he has built here in 5 years is to be greatly respected and admired. They have been to the playoffs 4 out of 5 years here. And yeah, okay. I know, like anecdotally, you can just look at the results and go, well, great, you've gotten there, but what have you done when you got there? Last year was a mess in Kansas City, and this year, he's at the front of the line for people who deserve blame for how it ended. But I don't know. I would want to remind myself if I ever got too far down that road, which I don't think I'm going to get, that you need to sort of stay steady. There's a lot that is right here that you need to try to keep right and maintain rather than cause massive upheaval. I mean, we've already spent way too many seconds on this subject.
Sure. Here's something, though. So you say, and we've talked about it many times, last year's game, 1 year ago tonight, I believe, that McDermott's not play calling, but choices, two short field goals, a third that was also dubious. There were three examples in this game where he took the conservative / anti-numbers position, if you will. And so you and I, to different degrees on different days, are like, well, that's not great. And we sort of carried that into this year. The season started with a game like that against the Steelers, and they lost. That take any one of those losses and turn it around, and it's part of why where we're at right now is so frustrating, because they would not have had to go to Arrowhead Stadium. But so that's been a topic. What'll happen? somebody else would think, I know I'm thinking of a certain friend, how can you possibly make last year's game about that? And it's not really making it about that. Is it just sort of taking it away from that game? Mm-hmm. Because it was 38-24 and they were down big. Like, it's not about we right. kicked here. But, okay, fine, fair enough.
It helped dig your hole. It helped dig your hole.
No, that's right. I think it's relevant.
Yep.
What's this game in that respect? That's what I'm getting to. Is what is this game in that respect? So the Bills' defense lining up like they did on the last two plays of regulation, which might not even have been his call in a specific sense, is the problem. That's what you mean when you say they blew it, right? Yep. So
precisely. The kickoff, too, but yes.
The kickoff, too. So is that the takeaway from this game that will really sort of sharply reflect on him? I think maybe not. You know, I think speaking of national media or just sort of like a general non-Bills fan, we're so immersed. Somebody else to me, I would not expect a lot of what was Sean McDermott doing kicking those field goals in the AFC Championship game last year. People, except my super geeky numbers guys. Not the average fan. That was not the takeaway from that game, I would say, to the average fan. What is the takeaway to the same person from this game?
It's 100% the final 13 seconds. 100%. The final third. Well, except, no, I shouldn't say 100%. We had a guy calls earlier that wanted to omit that from his analysis of the game. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I think he's – but the thing nationally that tempers it is that it's Mahomes.
Yes.
So at the same time as, you know, Bill Barnwell and lots of others are, you know, writing about and showing screen grabs of the defensive alignment and trying to make sense of what they were doing on those two pass plays, one to Hill, one to Kelsey, that got Kansas City into field goal range. There is, I think, a larger narrative that is, man, Patrick Mahomes, never out of it. 13 seconds, three timeouts, look at him go, 44 yards, field goal, tie game, overtime, boom, game over. And so that buffers the what in the world were they doing? It's like the wonderment of Mahomes pulling it off, I think, to some degree. Again, different analysis from different analysts, but I think Mahomes being the trigger man there buffers the criticism of McDermott to a degree.
Also, he would get some credit from some people for the fact that Allen exists and they scored 36 points and were on the losing end of maybe the greatest game they've ever seen, you know, like
right.
on a certain level. How is it not amazing? How is it not? Wait, what's your question? Like, what is your problem? I've thought that many times over the years about different people, players, coaches, just like, okay, we're right here right now. Can we back up a minute and just how does this probably look like from the outside? And it can look very different. So I guess, I mean, that was a question. Why isn't he being criticized more? And you went, are you serious? Right? Are you listening? Are you serious? And, okay, I wonder, like, if we're going to have a thing here this year going in the next year, or if that's changed a little bit. I don't know these answers. I'm not sure it's really right to have known these answers yet. But this is going to be something walking into the offseason. What have we got? Mm-hmm. I bet you hear a lot of this point that, you know, of course it'll be just – oh, Bill Walsh, you know, who knows what's going to be the next time. But you know, I bet you'll hear this point a lot about he can only get you there. Because now it's 4 years. And that's enough time for people, I think, that they think they know. And they don't care about the randomness of the sport. They don't care about other factors. They just think they know in 4 years. What was Andy Reid? Like, that's the right point, isn't it? What was Andy Reid? Andy Reid panned for clock management. NFC Championship loss, NFC Championship loss. Where are we now? He's fifth all-time in wins. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been to two more. They're a big favorite for him to go to a fourth. Any questions? It's not to say you have to hang in there on a guy, right? Like, everyone's different. But learn from history. And if it's worth anything, McDermott came up under Andy Reid. I knew Andy Reid had a wimpy punt in him last night, Bulldog. I was right. Yeah. Fourth and four at the 40-something. Remember that one? No. A lot,
right now, no. No. Right now, no.
A lot happened after.
I believe you that it happened. I don't.
He always does. He always does.
Did it? This is not. Do I need to ask? Did it seem like Nance and Romo did not acknowledge at all the relationship between McDermott and Reed?
I didn't notice them talking about it. Maybe they have other years.
I didn't either, and I think I paid very close attention, and there were numerous opportunities where the flow of the conversation would have led one of them to say something about McDermott working with Reed, and forgive me if it did happen, but by the third quarter, whenever the conversation sort of steered that way and we didn't get it, I said something out loud in my – like, why don't they say something about these men and their professional relationship? I think McDermott might consider Reed as close to a mentor as he has in the game.
Are you implying that something is soured?
No, I'm just implying that they, for some reason, didn't acknowledge it. I wasn't thinking at all that there's a problem between Reed and McDermott.
Okay.
But
you just thought
it
was weird that they didn't bring
it up.
I
thought it was very noticeable that they didn't ever really point that out, at least to my ears. And again, I think I was paying pretty damn close attention.
That's interesting. Like, I don't know that I've ever listened for that. But it kind of feels like it should be sort of a, did you guys know Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard thing?
Right, yes. The sort of ubiquitous,
but they always
like,
would mention
it. We're just going to feed you this because, like, everybody says it. And, you know, I don't know, maybe that's a reason not to do it, but I just thought it was noticeably absent. If, again, I'm correct that it was absent, and it certainly wasn't featured often if it got mentioned at all.
Okay.
So, I don't know, not a big point. I mean, I wanted to just take my emotions out for a spin about something that truly isn't that upsetting. Because all of this today has just been, you know, this is just like, I mean, this is heavy lifting today, talking about all this stuff. Like, I'm extremely frustrated and tangled up about how that ended and the opportunity that they lost by blowing that game at the end like they did. So I just wanted to, you know, take a frivolous spin on the why did the announcers do this train.
It will go down as another Buffalo crusher, and it should. And it's the combination of they were really good, the opponent's really good, they had it, and then the loss that does it. Like, that's the combination of those things. The Bills are good in games where it's a crusher because, you know, they're not getting killed. It's not that crushing. It's just like last year they didn't get killed, but it's more just like, okay, well, handshakes, you know, better team won. This is different than that. It reminds me a lot of Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee is a famous one, Music City, and I loved the Bills that day. It was not a shootout like this game. It was almost a different era, yeah. But I loved them in that day. I did not have high expectations. Tennessee's defense, so strong. Johnson in his first, like, real game, like, wow. And they got down, and they came all the way back and pulled it out. He's lost his shoe, and they make the field goal. Like, they did it. That was the same as last night. They actually did this. They were losing in this game, maybe by the same 9 points. They were losing in this game on the road and got there, and that is the best. Yeah. Oh, wait, there's one more play.
Right.
That is the same.
Yeah. Not only did they get there, they got there twice.
Right, they got there twice.
After the two-minute warning. I mean, they got there twice. Like, who, like, raise your hand. I mean, the Chiefs get that Tyreek Hill touchdown and go back up on you, and now there's a minute, what is there, like a minute six left when the Bills get the ball back? Whatever it is. You know, there's around a minute. And if they don't get there, like, what, are we mad at Josh Allen? Are we, you know, it's just like, oh, well, you know, good try. You know, you left too much time on the clock. Maybe you should have stayed in bounds on a couple of those runs or whatever and bled the clock down a little more. But I don't know. How do you prevent, you know, the lightning strike to Tyreek Hill did not take much time. So, you know, time would have been no factor. But the fact that they did it twice, he did it twice within the final 2 minutes of a game at Arrowhead against that guy playing quarterback against them. Oh, my God. Today's show is almost over, and I'm getting as upset as I've been since last night.
Well, it's time to end it.
It's not time
to end it. No. All right, let's keep going. Bulldog is going to make it work, everybody. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Joe just pulled the old up and under on me. The old triple Lindy.
The I don't old, get either of those
old,
references.
The old kitten caboodle play. Different names for it.
What is going on over there? What is happening?
We have pizza.
Oh my.
No one seems to know why, but because it's not election night. My first instinct every time there's pizza here is it election night? Are we voting on anything out there today?
January 24th? No, I don't think so.
Is there some town board meeting that we're covering late tonight? So there's pizza. It's good. And Joe waited for me to take a bite, thinking there'd be a sound bite here, different kind of bite. And then he goes, you take it. Right as I started the bite, he's like, you take it. Thanks, buddy. Enjoy those steaks you won at the meat raffle.
I'm excited about those steaks.
They look good.
You should be.
Yes, yeah. You should be. Here is different Joe. Joe is next on WGR. Hi.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Joe.
I just wanted to tell you how much I hate the prevent defense. And, you know, I don't know. I've watched the game, and I don't remember Mahomes throwing any deep balls. All I saw was like 10, 15 yards, crossing patterns. I don't remember him throwing any deep balls.
In fact, that was the only game he's played this year where he did not throw a pass for 20 yards in the air. Joe, is that right?
Yep.
This year or
next gen stats? His career. It's the first time in his career he didn't attempt to pass over 20 yards in the air.
There you go.
Then why did they play a prevent defense? The guy wasn't throwing deep at all.
Because they had 13 seconds with which to get 40 yards, yeah. I think is why.
Yeah, who made that call to go prevent? Was that McDermott or was it Frazier?
I don't know. Let me know if you find out.
Yeah,
you could fire him.
Well, he's probably not going to fire him. Maybe, but Frazier could end up also becoming a head coach somewhere. We'll see what happens. I mean, Frazier, what would McDermott say, at least publicly? He would say he's the defensive coordinator, so I think you want to think that it would be Frazier, but you're calling us to find out who it was. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. When the defense is being given credit, McDermott will, and he did this during I believe it was a post game, maybe it was just after the New England game, even that he said like quite pointedly, make no mistake. I think they even used that phrasing. Make no mistake. That is Leslie Frazier's defense. He calls it. He sets it up. And so when it's time to give credit, he wants to make sure and give credit. When it's time to dole out blame, I mean, he's not going to say, yeah, Leslie Frazier screwed that up. And nor really do I think he should. He is the head coach, and he is a defensive coach, and you called timeout, and you had opportunity there to get things set up. If you did not like something that was being told to the team, whatever defense is being called, how you were going to line up, then you've got to take action. And, you know, so I assume he signed off on whatever they did if it wasn't his idea entirely.
I thought it was bad. I'm going to say that as a preface to this. I thought it was bad. They gave Hill his play on which he picked up 20 yards running. I mean, he didn't even no Bills player even got to him until he went down. He went down as soon as he had any kind of resistance. So that was free. And the Bills seemed, by their formation, they're like, okay, you know, we'll take that deal. We'll take about a 20-yard play here. We'll take it. That's what they were giving up. And then on the Kelce play, maybe more of a breakdown, but it's definitely bad. I'm this guy, so I'll do it. You're going to hear about the prevent defense, right? You want to know why they play the prevent defense? Did you see the end of the Ram game? So Tampa blitzes, 27 all, like a minute left, and Tampa blitzes. They screwed up the signals besides, and there's Cooper Kupp, who only led the league in everything this year as a receiver, running free down the middle. That's, want to know why they play the prevent defense? To prevent that. because that is what that gets you beat too. So, I mean, every game is different, but get up on them. Yes, I mean, I think again, like they rushed four on the Kelce play, and you know what was the reason for that? Why what, are you expecting a sack there or to sort of force him? I think they're expecting a longer throw. They're if you're putting it all together and making a sensible call, you're doing that because you think Mahomes is not going to get rid of the ball immediately. And, you know, that's what he did.
Right.
That's what he often does. It goes hand in hand with how they played Kelce on that formation, you know. It's sort of here. Didn't work.
Yeah. I still I don't know what Levi Wallace is doing there. I just don't get it. And I don't want to end up in a spot where I'm making all kinds of suggestions that are coming to me now, right? I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe I don't. The rushing four point, right? Your four linemen. Okay. Maybe get Saron Neal on the field and have him lined up over Kelce to just run with him right at the snap of the ball and let everything else can be the same. Poidenhaier can be in Nebraska, okay? They're not even on the screen. They're back there because you don't want to get beat deep because he'll just beat you deep. Okay, fine. Everything else is the same. Wallace even performs nearly identically. If I've got someone facing Kelce at the line of scrimmage that just hits him in the shoulder pads with their two hands, legally. You don't even have to tackle him and take the penalty and run the risk of the intentional penalty. What? You're just chucking him. You're just hitting him within the 5 yards. You're hitting him, disrupting him, and then running with him. And then you've got Wallace there to double him if you need it. Is that crazy that football coaches who work 20 hours a day to come up with this stuff would not recognize maybe that some better idea was out there
after calling a timeout? I'm not going to let that go because I think sometimes those are just whatever. These the defense timeouts, but both of those plays came after timeouts.
Yep.
Let's take some extra time, get organized. Both of those plays happened after that defense called timeout. That's McDermott, right? I mean, Frazier's not calling the timeout,
right?
That's his it's kind of his move. Did they ice Butker? They couldn't. They were out, right? They couldn't have iced Butker.
They were out of timeouts. Yeah.
They iced him in the first half. And wait a minute.
He missed.
He missed.
Did he miss on the icing? I don't remember the timing of the
play. Well, he only kicked it the one time, and he missed right. Aha, uh-huh. You see, Shope? When it works, it works. Of course, how could you tell? Was he just scared suddenly? It was the second quarter. He got nervous. He got cold, maybe. Here's Gina next. Hi, Gina.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. So listen,
you're welcome.
I want to start out by thanking you two.
I enjoy
you two very much all the time. The material that Jerry Seinfeld can get out of this show is like he'd be on for another 5 years between the cake and the cannoli and everything else. But don't let my peppy attitude, I am disgusted. I woke up sad, disgusted, irritated, twisted. Like, we should be there. We should have won this game. How many times do we have to say next year? There's always next year. I'm not going to be alive for many more years. There's going to be no more next year. It's like, oh, my God. But I'm going to tell you something. Why I'm so upset is because I feel as though we have to listen to all these naysayers and all these people disrespect us for another year now. We're not good. We're this. We're that. We are good. We are good. We're almost there. We almost did it. And I got to feel like I got to scream and yell. I'm a social worker. I listen to people's problems all day long. So thank you for listening to me because I am beside myself. WTF. Why not us? Why can't it be us? We deserve this. And as far as Sean McDermott, I thank him for the stand-up man that he is. So much character. He's done so much for this team. And I can't put my finger on who I'm angry with, but I got to be angry at somebody. Because 13 seconds, come on, man. I don't know. And I feel stupid for being so emotional about a football game. Like, one of you said it earlier, like, I need to be validated that it's okay to be this emotional over this game. I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, born in 66. I've been following them since I knew what a football was. And Josh Allen, man, he's the beast. He's the GOAT. I am so happy Josh Allen is our quarterback. But what the hell, guys? What the hell?
I'd consider Sneaky Joe as a blame target.
take it out on Joe.
All right, let's blame Sneaky Joe.
Let's do it.
He's on after us if you want to call him.
Yeah. Thank you, Gina.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you for the work you do in social work.
Joe would love to be blamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring it. I don't know what I've done to
I was trying to eat a piece of pizza, and you could – oh, you take it. Go. Like, you're watching me waiting. You're watching me set myself up.
It was not intentional. Or was it?
Taunting.
We'll never know.
Flag him.
Yeah. Don't you don't have to, you know, just say, you know, Joe, something along the lines of, we talked about everything and you know, it's execution.
Keep it simple, Joe. Meat raffle.
You know what? Don't call it seven. I'm just going to rank quarterbacks under the age of 26. Let's do a feel-good show.
Tonight?
Yeah.
All right. How many good ones are there? They're all in the AFC.
All of them are in the AFC.
Except Kyler Murray.
Right.
What about Dan Jones?
He'd be low.
Is he on your list?
Really low. He'd be below even like Hurts for me.
Daniel Jones or Mac Jones?
It's good.
That's close.
Is Daniel Jones relevant to whether Daboll wants the Giant job?
I'd wonder, like, if I'm Daboll in that meeting, maybe he is in there saying the Giants could come right out and say, like, we want Daniel. Daniel Jones is here next year. Like, can you fix him?
It should be up to Shane or the owner to say that. It's not going to be – it shouldn't be Daboll's call, right?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. It's like, what do you think of Daniel Jones? Because if I'm Daboll, and it depends what your other options are. If you think he was the favorite for the Bears job at one point, if to me the appeal of the Giants job would be there's flexibility at quarterback. So I would want to be like, no, I don't want. I want to start over. Right. Like, let's draft a guy. Let's go trade for Russell Wilson.
Then like, you can go back to Buffalo.
You can only cash in on your head coach opportunity sometimes once, and if you get the wrong quarterback, that can sink you, and you never get another go at it. So like you got that credit built up right now, and if you spend it on Daniel Jones, I mean that's crazy.
I think there's a player there, maybe not a legend, but I think maybe it's not the worst. I'd pick Daniel Jones over Mac Jones.
I think I would.
Better athlete,
too. Yeah, athlete,
more upside. Like I a little bit more resemblant of Allen if you're Daboll walking in there, you know, somebody you think you can work with. Got experience now. They've got good skill players. They're so bad, but they do. Let's take a break and we'll finish, then we'll give Joe his chance to respond to Gina and all the other haters. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Okay. Day one of the off season. How many days will there be? Like 250? Too soon.
I don't have to rush back from New York after seeing these guys Saturday night, though.
Oh, right.
So, full disclosure, like that Bills score with 13 seconds, and there is high-fiving and jumping and whooping and yelling, and when it finally quiets down, I turn to my left and I say to my wife, "You better book me a flight." Now, she didn't start immediately that moment booking the flight, so there was nothing to be undone, but you're wondering where my head was at,
yeah,
with 13 seconds to go, I'm like, book me a flight. For folks who don't know, my family, we're all going to see the War on Drugs at MSG on Saturday night. We knew when she bought the tickets for us for Christmas that the potential for a conflict with the AFC Championship game was going to be there. And she just said, as I was opening the present, she said, you know, or once I opened it, she said, don't worry about it. If you need to fly back, you can fly back. Me and the kids will drive. And so that was going to be the plan.
So. What about that soccer game? Isn't that also Sunday?
Sunday at 3. The AFC Championship game is at 3:05. But there are, from the time the date was announced to now, you have more border restrictions, I think. Maybe not on this end, actually. Maybe it's just harder for Canadians getting across here.
Maybe.
But 50% capacity.
Still good.
It's still good, but like part of that for me was like the atmosphere of like a World Cup qualifying soccer game.
Right? Huge.
And like it'll still probably be awesome to see Pulisic and Davies for Canada, like all the young stars in this game. And it's important for their first versus second. But just half capacity, I don't know if it's worth it.
Will you watch it over the football game?
No. I might find my way to dual monitor somehow, but I don't think I'd watch it over it.
It is another terrible uniform game. Kansas City, Cincinnati, red versus orange is just not good.
Is there anything good against Cincinnati?
Black is okay, I would say.
So Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati works uniform-wise,
Baltimore.
I would say. Baltimore's fine. It's dark. Yeah, fine. But
not Kansas City.
Not red versus orange. No. No! Never, ever. The other one's a beauty. 49ers, Rams.
Yep.
That's a beauty.
Classic.
All right, well, sorry we couldn't turn the result of the game around today, but it was interesting and fun to talk about it. And
maybe
tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. Yeah, we'll come back tomorrow and see if we can do better. Sneaky Joe is next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. See you tomorrow at 3 on WGR.
And tomorrow starts the same old thing again. And tomorrow starts the same old thing again.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.